probably out, but I'm just kidding about that. But hey, we're glad she made it in, you know. Hey, I'm always glad when you take the time to come, make the effort to be in the house of God. It's good for you to do that. It's good for us to be here, and good to meet in the Lord's house for sure. I want to ask you to take your Bible, if you will, this morning to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we're going to begin in verse 35, read an account that's probably pretty familiar, especially if you've been in church very much. I'll say this, it's good to have a first-time visitor today. It's good to have Bailey here this morning, right? That is your name, right, Bailey? All right, we're glad you came. I'm sorry the best you can do as friends is Sarah, but Maybe you can meet some good folks here, all right? No, we're glad you're here, Bailey. It's good to have you. Glad you came. All right, you're there in Mark chapter 4, all right? We're going to begin reading in verse 35, if you will. The Bible said, in the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, I just want to tell you, there is a boatload of preaching material in the verses we've just read, all right? The truth of the matter is, we could stay right here in this passage for weeks. I could preach to you on faith and the lack of faith. I could preach to you on doubt, and even doubt as it relates to your salvation. There's obviously a message here on doubting the Word of God. There's material here for finding rest in the time of storm. And if you haven't gone through a storm and needed rest, you will. You will. And so there's just plenty of preaching in these verses. But all that said, we're not going to preach on any of those things, all right? Instead, I want to focus our attention, if you will, to verse 41. And I want you to see the question that was asked. And we're going to look at that question. What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? What manner of man is this? Now, I'm going to start out and tell you right off, going to try to speak on a subject that I'm inadequate to speak on. But I don't look around and see anybody else that's available and adequate to cover the subject either. And that's not to put down anybody here or anyplace else. But truthfully, there's no one who can adequately describe the manner of man that the Lord Jesus Christ was, all right? I mean, it's just an impossible situation. It is impossible to completely answer that question. One reason is because the Lord Jesus Christ was absolutely unique. Absolutely unique. There's never, never been anybody else like him. Never. And by the way, there will never be anybody else like him. You may have met some people that stand out, but there's never been anybody like Jesus Christ. He was such a different and an amazing and a unique individual that the Bible over in John chapter 21 says about him that even the world could not contain the books that could have been written and could be written about what he did. You see, we read the Bible and we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we think that's everything he did, but that's not true. That is just a fraction of what he did on this earth, all right? But I do want us to look at what manner of man is he. And let me begin by saying this. He's an historical man. He's an historical man. You say, why do you even bring that up? Because there's still some uninformed, some unlearned, and some ignorant people in this world that deny that the man Christ Jesus ever lived. They would tell you he is simply another literary character just found in the book. And that's all he is. He is no more, if you will, than Tom Sawyer or Huckleberry Finn. Hey, that's the way they view him. They would tell you maybe a myth, but not real. But they were dead wrong, all right? They are dead wrong. Jesus Christ was a person who existed in history past. He was here on this earth, all right? He did walk the face of this earth. He was born over yonder in that little country we refer to as Israel. He was born there in the city of Bethlehem, all right? He had a mama that brought him up and cared for him, took care of him, fed him, clothed him, did what mamas do, and a mama that stood by at the foot of the cross when he died and wept as he died. He was a real individual, all right? Other writers testified to that. Matthew said he lived. Mark told us about his life. Luke tells us about his life. John tells us about his life. You said, preacher, all those guys are in the Bible. Yeah, but did you ever stop to think that those men, most of those men gave their life, died because of their belief in the one that people, some people today said never existed. Now, I just don't believe too many people would do that, all right? But they did that. They did that. Why? He was a real individual. By the way, he's written about by other writers. There's a fellow by the name of Josephus. Josephus was a historian. Josephus wrote about Jesus Christ. Wrote about his name is in the book that Josephus wrote. You don't believe it? I've got it. You can read it. You said, what page? Start at page one and read until you find it. But it's there, all right? So he's a real historical character, historical man. But I'll tell you this, he was more than just historical. He was absolutely supernatural. Supernatural. I marvel today at grown human beings who talk about, well, my favorite superhero is, but it goes beyond that. They spend money, they dress funny, and they go to conventions with a lot of other people that have spent money and dress funny because of their comic book character that they look up to and say so much about. It baffles me that they do that. I had somebody one time trying to set up some kind of account for me, and they were looking for a password, and they said, well, what was your favorite superhero? I said, man, you don't understand. I'm so old, there was only one superhero when I was growing up. It was Superman. I never got too sucked into all of that kind of business, but I do know there is one. You say, what manner of man is Jesus Christ? Supernatural. Supernatural, all right? He had a supernatural birth. He got into this world unlike anybody else who's ever got here. Adam got here without benefit of a mom or dad, period. Eve got here at the special creative work of God from the rib out of Adam. You said, why did God take a rib? Ask him. I don't know. I've heard all the stories. But I don't know, but God created her. But man, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ got here without benefit of a human father. He was born of a virgin. That's never happened before. Until then, it'll never happen again. Supernatural birth. But then he lived a supernatural life. When you study the life of Jesus Christ, you're looking at a supernatural individual. His life was unbelievable. I just give you a few instances. He was at a meeting one day, and a lot of people were there, and he had taught them, and he said, what have you guys got to feed this crowd? They said, we got a sack lunch. And they had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And then that disciple said exactly what you of I would have said. What are they among so many? And the Lord said, I'll show you. I'll show you. He said, you have them all set down. And he took those 5 loaves and those 2 fish and he began to break them and he handed them out, those pieces, and he handed to the disciples. The disciples carried it to the people and those 5,000 people ate. And the Bible said they were all filled. Everybody ate. They were all full and they took up the leftovers and there was 12 baskets full of leftovers. Said, how did that happen? He lived a supernatural life. He was supernatural. By the way, he died a supernatural death. You said, preacher, what was supernatural about it? He died on the cross like a whole bunch of other convicts did in that day. Hundreds and thousands of people were crucified. What made his supernatural? Because he took your sin and my sin, and he bore our sins in his own body on that tree. It was supernatural because he died the just for the unjust. It was supernatural because he paid the price. He paid the debt he didn't owe that we owe and cannot pay. But he paid it. He paid that debt. Supernatural death. Supernatural. Then he was resurrected in a supernatural resurrection. After laying in that grave 3 days and 3 nights, the Bible said he came forth. Nobody stood outside and called his name and called him out. Nobody went inside and laid hands on him and performed a healing, but of his own self and the power of the Holy Spirit, he got up and he got out of that grave. And I'll tell you this, a little while later, just a few days later, he had a supernatural ascension back to heaven. So what are you saying? I'm saying he was supernatural. He was supernatural because he was the only God-man that's ever existed. He was 100% God and 100% man. He gave up glory, came to this earth, took upon himself the form of a human being, made in the likeness of man. You said, preacher, I can't understand that. Me either. Me either. He came to this earth, but he didn't cease to be God when he became man. I don't understand it either, but the Bible says it, and I believe it with all of my heart. He was the only supernatural man ever. Ever. All the superheroes of today are a joke. Just a joke. They're everyone made up. Hey, he was an historical individual. That's what manner of man he was. He was a supernatural individual. That's what manner of man he was. But let me say this, right after that, he was an authoritative individual. Look in your Bible, if you will, Mark chapter 1, would you? Mark chapter 1. Now notice what the Bible said. Mark chapter 1 and verse 27, and they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Can I point out to you here the folks that were amazed were his enemies? But even his enemies recognized his authority. His enemies did not say he didn't have the authority. They recognized the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, that crowd that followed the Lord didn't always like his authority. They didn't always agree with it and get along with it, but they recognized that he had that authority. He was an authoritative individual. Hey, many today don't like his authority. They don't like his authority. And many today do the same thing they did in that day. Go back to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. And notice with me verse 23, would you? Matthew 21, verse 23. Here's what the Word of God says. Matthew 21, verse 23. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority?" Now, you do understand, it's very plain they recognize that authority. They said, "Man, here's this fellow Jesus. He's in here and he's teaching with authority. He's not like somebody else. He's not like the scribes, these fellows that were noted as teachers." But no, when he came, he taught with authority. And they questioned that authority. They knew he had it, but they wanted to know, where'd you get it? Where'd it come from? Hey, they still do the same thing today. Folks question that authority. People, man, they question the authority out of the Word of God. Hey, who do you think you are telling me what I need to do, how I need to live, what I'm supposed to do? Where does that authority come from? Who do you think you are? That's the question. Hey, they still have that question. Now they recognize, though, the authority. Let me just talk to you about that authority. Go to Luke chapter 9, would you? Go to Luke chapter 9. You said, what kind of authority? How much authority did he have? Good question. Good question. Look, if you will, in Luke chapter 9. Then he called his 12, this verse 1, I'm sorry. Luke 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Did you get that? You say, how much authority he had? I'll tell you this, he had enough to give it away. He had so much authority that he could give to his disciples authority that they had, distribute it to them, and it didn't diminish the authority he had. He had just that much authority, enough that he could pass it on, give it to those disciples, still have plenty of authority left over. Yeah, that's what he had, all right? That's what he had. That kind of authority. Look, if you will, back in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, would you? Matthew chapter 7, verse 29. The reason they questioned him is because he taught with authority. Matthew 7, verse 29. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. He taught as one having authority. You understand what it is to have authority? His words carried the weight of authority. I was thinking about this point. I have to confess to you, my father-in-law came to mind. Chuck Worley. Chuck Worley was the kind of man who had authority in his voice. There's some of you remember you were in children's church. This is a long time ago. And he was there. He had authority. He could step in and say, "Hey, get quiet." And it was amazing. The authority he had in his voice. Hey, that the Lord Jesus Christ taught with authority. It came out that way. And those who heard him knew that he was in total control. They knew that he knows what he's talking about. He knows everything about the subject he teaches. I've down through the years tried to teach a lot of things. I have never known everything about any one subject that I taught. I could not have said, "You are looking at the authority on this." The only thing I might be the authority on is Marlon Mosley. I know him. I know so much about him that I know a lot about him that I ain't about to tell you. Not going to do it. Hey, but the Lord, he had authority. I mean, he knew his subject. His teaching was to be obeyed because of the authority behind it. You just felt like, I better do what he says. I better do what he says. Hey, that is still true in a day where we have taught people to disrespect authority. We've taught people to disrespect authority. That's why today people run from the police. I was at Brother Minyard's house this week. Brother Minyard always watches educational TV. And we were watching the show with police chases. And we're sitting there watching. I go, you know, do these people, how dumb are they? They actually think they're going to get away? You've got to be kidding, you know? It's not going to happen. But we've taught people today to question authority to the extreme. And because of that, sometimes police have to shoot people. And then we get mad at the police for doing their job. Now, you be careful. But our Lord taught with authority. Why? He was an authoritative. What manner of man was he? He was historical. What manner of man was he? Supernatural. What manner of man was he? He was authoritative. What manner of man was he? He was powerful. Powerful. Jesus Christ was a man of power. You said, how much? Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, lays it out where nobody can miss it. All right? Jesus, in Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. How much? All. Not just a bit. Not a whole lot. Not a bunch. No, all of it. All power. All power is given to him. Do you realize that's why Jesus Christ never faced a problem he could not solve? Never faced a problem he could not solve. He never ran into a situation or a circumstance he could not change. Why? Power. Power. He had the power to change every circumstance, every situation. I'll talk about it just a little bit. He had power over the supernatural. Over the supernatural. Remember that there, back there, that verse we read about his authority? They said, man, what authority. This guy, he can command even the devils. And they obey him. Even the devils. He had power over demons and over devils. Power to command them. He could command them, and they knew that. They recognized that. We read in the scripture, we read it earlier in the book of Mark, where some of those demons saw the Lord coming, and they said, what have we to do with you? They knew what he could do to them, and they would beseech him to leave them alone. When he comes to the maniac of Gadara, we'll run into him a little bit later in the Gospel of Mark. But when they came to that maniac of Gadara who was filled with demons, they asked him, hey, command us to go into that herd of swine, if you would. Because they didn't want to be eliminated. So he said, all right. He put them in the swine. The pigs eliminated them, all right. They went down into the sea and drowned themselves. Why? He had power over the supernatural. He had power over the supernatural. Look, he could rebuke them. He could remove them. No problem. In our day, in this country, we really don't think much of the supernatural. Especially on that evil side. But I'll tell you, you go to some areas where I read part of that letter last week from our missionary brother Wells over in New Guinea. You get in some of those areas, boy, and that power is palpable. It's real. You can literally feel it, all right? We look down on it, but I'll remind you, the Lord had power over the supernatural. He could command them, but that's not all. He had power over the natural. Over the natural. Here in our text where we read in Mark chapter 4, it was that power over the natural. And that caused those disciples to say, what manner of man is this? Why? Because here he was, the God-man. The God-man, all right, the man who was so exhausted that he lay down, physically exhausted, he lay down in that ship and went to sleep and slept through the storm that scared the snot out of every disciple in that boat with him. Now, you've got to get in the Greek to see that scared the snot, but it's there, all right? Scared them, all right? It scared them. And they woke him up and said, Master, don't you care? We're about to die. They woke up the man But the supernatural God stood up, the powerful, the all-powerful God stood up and said three words. Peace, be still. That's all it took. There was no mumbo jumbo. There was no wild going through everything under the sun. No, three words. That's all it took. Peace, be still. Man, the sea calmed down. The wind quit blowing. The Bible said there was a great calm. Great calm. How'd that happen? Because of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had that power. He has that control over the raging storm. He has the power over all creation. Listen, friend, you mark it down. He put it here. He controls it. He can put the quietus on you. He can stop you. He can get you to do what you never thought you could do. His power is such. All power. All power. I think about people who shake their puny fist at God and think they're going to tell him something. The one of all power. Hey, what manner of man is he? Powerful. But can I say this right here? You know what the most exciting power he had? It wasn't to rebuke the wind. Now, I confess to you, humanly speaking, I would like to see a video of that event. I started to say I wish I'd have been in the ship, but I wouldn't. Because I don't like storms in the midst of the ocean if I'm on the ship. But man, I would like to have seen the live feed of that event. To see him just step up and say, peace be still. And then look at those disciples and say, man, what's wrong with you bunch of chickens, all right? Why are you so fearful? How is it to have no faith? I'd rather not be in the group he's saying that to, if you're with me, okay? But if I'd have been on that ship, I'd have been in that group. You say, what is the greatest power? Take your Bible, if you will. Let's go to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Now you stay with me if you would, please. Hey, if you've not heard anything else I've said, would you listen here? Would you listen here real close? Mark chapter 2. Now we're going to read several verses here, beginning in verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath, what's that next word? Power on earth to what? Forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. But what was the purpose of that? Stay with me. Stay with me. What was the purpose of that saying, take up your bed and walk? He said, so you'll know I've got power to forgive sins. Hey, you talk about power. That's power. That's power. Truthfully, the fact that he can rebuke the wind and the waves doesn't affect us a whole lot. Doesn't affect us a whole lot. We're not out on the water in storms. By the way, if you are, did I say you probably got yourself in that mess? You got yourself in that mess, so don't, you know, say, well, God, why can't you do something about it? Well, you got there by yourself. You know, we get out on the lake around here and see a storm coming up. I just want to cast one more time. I just want to make one more trip across here with the ski-doo. Or I just want to ski just a little bit longer. We get ourselves in a mess. So the fact that he can still the waves and calm the seas and the winds, that doesn't affect us a whole lot. But wait a minute. The fact that he can forgive sins, hey, we need that. We need that. Now, there's some you may be sitting here and saying, preacher, look, I've had people tell me before, preacher, I just don't think the Lord saved me. You don't know what I've done. But you don't know the power of God. You don't know the power of God. The Bible says he has the power to forgive sins. Now, I don't know what this fellow here that was sick of the palsy that we just read about, I don't know what he had done. I don't know his past. You don't know it. None of us know what he had done. We do not know the sins he had committed. We have no idea. But he had power to say to him, thy sins be forgiven thee. Not some of them. The implication is all of them. Amen. He has the power to forgive sin. That's your sin, friend. Your sin. Yeah, but preacher, I've done, it doesn't matter. He has power to forgive sins. He can forgive your sin. There's some of you here that have lived, humanly speaking, a lot more wicked life than some of the rest of us. Hey, I'll be honest with you. I did not grow up living a wicked life because I had a mom and a daddy that would just take the belt to me and wear me out. And I knew that. And I knew they had eyes everywhere watching. Because no matter what I did, they found out about it. So I was careful in the life that I lived. And then, thank God, I got saved at an early age. So I just want to confess to you, I never wanted to do some of the dumb things some of you have done. It never occurred to me, that looks like fun. Nope, I didn't think it did. So I didn't do those things. So some of you would look at me and say, man, you've had a boring life. You're wrong. But I tell you this, the sins I commit, he has the power to forgive. He has the power to forgive. Let me tell you this. He has the power to forgive the sins you commit too. Remember what it says, all power given unto me in heaven and in earth. He said, I'll show you I've got power to forgive sins. And he told that fellow, arise, take up your bed and walk. That fellow got up, took up the bed and walked. Hey, you hear me? He has power to forgive sins. That right there is the most exciting thing I can think of. Coupled with the last thing I want to tell you about what manner of man is this, he's a man of compassion. Man of compassion. What a blessing that is for you and me. A man of compassion. Thank God. Four times in the Word of God, we're told that Jesus was moved with compassion. Why? He saw the multitude in their sin. Hey, I want to tell you, I'm glad for that compassion. I'm glad for that compassion. Because of that compassion, when I was a 9-year-old boy, he dealt with my heart and brought conviction to me and drew me to him and helped me to realize I need a Savior, and I trusted that Savior and got involved and realized he had the power to forgive my sin. I'm glad he did. I want to tell you this, his compassion didn't end there. His compassions, the Bible said, they fail not. They fail not. They're new every day. There's plenty of compassion to go around. Because of his compassion, we can enjoy his mercy. His mercy. He has compassion on us. He has compassion on you. You may have cursed his name. You may have used his name as a byword. You may still do that. You may use the name of Jesus Christ just because you get exasperated. Instead of saying, man, you use his name. You use his name when you get mad. And when you decide you want to damn somebody or something, you bring his name into it. Let me say this to you. Because of his compassion, he still has mercy. He has mercy on those that do that. He has mercy. And he has the power to forgive that sin. And because of his compassion, he will forgive it. He will forgive it. I'll be honest with you. I told you when I started today, I'm inadequate to cover what manner of man is this. Can't tell you. There's much more to say about him. But he's no longer among us today as a man. He's seated in heaven at the right hand of God the Father. The Bible said he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's there to make intercession for us. He's there as our advocate. He's there to plead our case. That's him. That's him. And I want to ask you this morning, have you made him your Savior? Have you come to him and say, Lord, you may not have phrased it this way, but Lord, I need that power. I need you to forgive my sin. I need you to forgive my sin. Have you ever done that? Have you come to him and asked him to save your soul? Don't sit here and think, I'm okay because I'm religious. I'm okay because at one point in time, you know, my parents were Christian. I was born into a Christian home. I was brought up in church. I've been baptized. Great. But none of that makes you saved. None of that makes you born again. It's you coming to him and asking him to save your soul. That's when you experience the supernatural work of a supernatural individual who's able to take you from death unto life. He's able to do that, and he will. And he can because of his power to forgive sin. But if you come to him and ask him for that, you've really done that this morning. Has that ever occurred? Then let me go beyond that. What are you doing, all right? Are you letting him take and lead you in your life? No, I'm listening to the people on The View. I'm listening to Dr. Phil or Uncle Charles or somebody out there elsewise, all right? Somebody else, somewhere else. Hey, they can't help you, but the Lord can. Would you let him lead your life? Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Would you allow him to take and lead you, that one who is supernatural, that historical one who did live here but lived a supernatural life, that one who has the authority over sin and death and hell, that one who has the power to forgive sin, that one who has the compassion to reach down to you where you are, would you take him as your Savior? Would you turn to that one and say, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. Hey, if not, if you've not done that, would you do it this morning? Say, preacher, I'm not sure what you mean. Here's what I mean. In just a moment, we're going to stand. I'm going to pray. The instrument musicians will come to the instruments. Brother Marion will come up here. We'll give you a page number. Sing, and that's the invitation hymn. We sing that song, we invite people to come. Maybe some folks will come and kneel here at these steps because they've got business to do with God. But if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you do not absolutely, positively know if you were to die, you'd go to heaven. You don't know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. I encourage you to step out, walk down an aisle. I'll be standing right there. Meet me right there. And you just shake hands with me and say, preacher, I need to trust Christ. We'll have somebody take the Word of God, open it, and show you. You're not going to have to give a speech. Not going to have to do anything like that. We'll have somebody show you in the Bible because we want you to know exactly what the Bible says because it's important you do what God says. We're going to have somebody do that. Don't walk out of here today without knowing you're on your way to heaven. Don't do that. Christian, don't walk out of here self-willed, doing your own thing, your own way, instead of listening to God. What manner of man is this? Unbelievable. But you can believe it. You can believe it. Would you stand, please, this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning because we need you. Lord, we need that convicting power of the Holy Spirit. We need that tug at our heart that says, you're not right, but you can get right. Lord, we need that today.